It's time to spark it up with the Kennel Linguists.
I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after you go to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store gun store. Check cash in place. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the vagina. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
California police unions want to keep weed illegal. Can you mail it to other states? Rabbi's here to inspect our legal weed in the states, and we've reached 50% here on the Cannel Linguist, Alex Mandelberg, April O'Connor, talking weed. I'm losing my mouth here.
I could punch you in it.
Yeah, you could punch me in it. You could punch me in the mouth and get me. Oof.
Do we need to jump start?
No, I don't need to jump. I don't know what it had. I'll tell you exactly what it is. We're on the eve of PUI, performing under the influence, the show that I host with Quincy Johnson.
So you're drinking lots of water.
So I'm drinking lots of water, and we're not the beer whiskey linguists today. We're recording in the afternoon. Like, I just did yoga an hour and a half ago.
Queer.
I'm like, fuck you.
I do yoga. Like, I'm kidding.
When the hippies calling me queer for doing yoga, I'm doing DDP yoga because I'm a real, real flamer.
That's so awesome.
It's fun. Listen, I'm willing to endorse and say for someone who stopped doing yoga as soon as I had to because I was healthy enough to do other things because I did it when I injured myself. This is the first time I've been doing yoga, and I'm like, no, it feels like a workout, so I'm happy.
I've been doing yoga for 15 years, but
yoga didn't feel like a workout for me, like the standard yoga, like that, just that whole, like, down dog, now press up, and I was like, ugh.
Just go into your mind.
Yeah, no, relax. That stuff doesn't work for me. I need to feel like I'm working out, so this is, you know, so all of that combined.
It's basically... if DDP is like the guy's yoga, then all the other yoga is for pussies, basically.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it. So at least
it was
something.
Very entertaining. I enjoyed
you doing it with us. Cause all right, here's the thing, listeners. So DDP has this one move that kind of, April just found hilarious the first like 2-3 times that he did it in the first 5 minutes. And then we started like hitting the push-up phase of things and like the runner's lunges where you're doing like crunches and flies and stuff.
And April was
not laughing at all. Like after the 5 minute mark of this 30 minute video, nary a laugh to be heard from the right side of the room. Just a whole lot of,
you know, I really enjoyed it. I just really enjoyed how he would. He would get that like very,
he's very intense.
He'd get that very serious, like I'm talking to one of my future opponents. He'd like make this pose with his hand and he'd look right into the camera and I would just die laughing. I loved it.
Well, he's an ex-wrestler, so
no, I know. That's where
there's
you
definitely
can feel
a
it.
Lot of theatrical
yeah, exactly.
things going on in this. All right, so starting off, California police unions want to keep weed legalization off the ballot. And I'm very much emphasizing police unions. And the unions, by the way, are the old fucking guard of dude. Like, I feel like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to oppose drug policy.
It's what they're
changes.
Supposed to do and blah, blah, blah. But as someone, like, I know a few cops who've been cops for less than 10 years, which is kind of that cutoff to be old guard, new guard, I feel like. At least I'm going to actually say probably 15 years is more closer to that. But there's all the cops that I know really tell me they're like, if I smell it in the car, unless I pulled him over because he was weaving all over the place, I'm not asking because I don't want to know.
Yeah,
I don't care. I know there's a really good chance that he has his card on him. It's impossible for me to prove if he's been smoking while he's been driving. And I don't want the headache. I'd rather give him the ticket for what I know he did wrong and let him leave. And if he's a dick to me, like, here's the thing. I'm going to any of our listeners who do that whole, I'm a citizen of the state and try and do that whole maritime law thing. First of all, I completely support every cop that tases you and pulls you out of your car. Because that is just douchey and stupid. And have you not seen those videos?
Like Sovereign.
Yeah, those Sovereign.
The state.
My favorite thing to do is go on YouTube and watch compilation videos of those dudes getting maced, tased, and pulled out of their car.
Oh, there's
compilation videos everywhere. I love it. 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 It's awesome to watch these people just like, no, you know what, dude? You have to understand that there are still rules that keep us safe. Okay?
Really? From my bag of weed?
No, that's the thing. That's where I go. If you have a bag of weed on you and you are completely cooperative with police, not like he walks up and you go, I got a bag of weed on me, officer. No. I just mean he walks up and you have all your windows rolled down, have your hands on the steering wheel so that they can see them and know you're not a threat. Because also realize that these are dudes who walk into threatening circumstances and circumstances that they don't know that are threatening that wind up being threatening all the time. Put your hands on the steering wheel so that they can see them. And when they say, how are you doing? Say, very good. How are you this evening, officer? What can I help you with? Why did you pull me over? And he will answer you very politely back, I'm sure.
Oh, you're way too white. Right,
you know
now
what? I know I'm really white to say that, and I know that's a white privilege thing. But and to speak to the other side of that, I don't know what it's like to be in that situation. All I can speak to is what I know. And what I know is I've never – like, here's the weird thing. I keep seeing videos where cops are beating up black people, and yet I keep seeing videos where white people are the ones who are assholes to cops. Frankly, if you're asking me, I think cops have been beating the ass of the wrong fucking people, because all I see is videos of black people being like, I'm complying, I'm complying, I'm complying, as they have the shit beat out of them, whereas I see white people who usually are dickholes, which is why I love watching the compilation videos of the few times they get their comeuppance. Because those sovereign state people, always white. Every fucking one of them is white.
No, not always.
That's white privilege playing itself out.
No, I know. I know all sorts of people.
You know people who aren't who do that? I've every video I watch, I feel like 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10 are white dudes.
Yeah.
And the 10th one is a white lady.
No. I definitely know people of all walks
who try and pull that sovereign state thing.
I mean, there's a lot of people that just don't acknowledge it, but there is some, like, there's a legal way of doing it, but you're like taking back your social security number. You're taking back your basically like all your rights too. Like anything, like you have, like if you become a sovereign citizen of a state, you have like, you basically have no rights.
Well, for whatever reason it is,
because the rights are for the citizens.
Ah, Jesus. You know?
That's where it gets like.
I think the ones that I'm talking about are more like the guys who are trying to pull the maritime law shit on land or whatever the fuck that is. And
maritime law has to do with whatever flag you have flying.
Yeah, yeah.
But in your building or on your boat.
Yeah.
And that's the laws that you go by. That's what maritime law is.
Well, I know that.
But we're just saying that, like, this whole thing with the police and it's also the correctional officers, like, union or whatever. It's basically all these people that
all the people you'd expect to be against weed.
Well, if people aren't getting arrested or put in jail for weed, then that's less money that they get. So that's really what the bottom line is.
Are that many people really still being thrown in jail for weed?
If it depends on where you are and what color you are.
I'm talking in California, in the state of California, where we're talking about this law, where it's the California police that are backing.
You don't think? I mean, and not even
not
like
being up for,
you could be
for vote. Excuse me.
I mean, even still, you could be some, like, you know, some meth head still and get caught with weed and already have priors and get in trouble too. Like, you don't have to. But people, it's a.
How many people are being locked up right now, where the only charge being rung up is marijuana related, where that was what they were looking for?
I mean,
policing
for profit? Are you aware of people
I know what policing
and putting people every arrest that they make is a fine that the city collects, and every that's it. It create generates income.
Ooh, I really feel like that. That is.
It is.
No. I'm glad you brought that up because I want to dispel right now. That is the one of the biggest urban legends.
It is
that
not.
Whole,
there's like tons of documentaries going on all across
yeah,
the country.
Yeah, and there's also a documentary that said 9/11 was an inside job, but I don't believe that one either.
Aren't you hearing about the LA police chief getting in trouble right now for the way that they're doing disciplinary action?
There is a lot of problems with the cops, and I mean lot of problems. But
I don't even know why you're standing up for the cops.
I'm
right
not
now.
Standing up for the cops. What I'm standing up
you
for
are.
Is the fact that fines in this country or fines in this state and this city. I'm just going to talk Los Angeles because I know Los Angeles. Fines in the state of Los Angeles go to fund. I think it was like less than 5% of the funding comes from fines and disciplinary stuff like and misdemeanors and all that.
Yeah,
it's
but then
such
they also,
a small
they also,
level of money then, on the overall scale of the money that they get.
You don't think that there's privatized prisons in this state?
There are privatized prisons.
And they don't make money off people getting arrested and going to jail.
Well, that's not what we're talking about here. That's not what we're talking about
yes,
here.
Yes, we are.
We're talking about police unions and all that.
People that work for privatized prisons and fucking cops that are going to not have the ability to arrest people for something that they've been arresting people for forever. And like they're not going to be able to – I mean the history of like why cannabis was even made illegal was because it gave them the right to shake down people because the people of color – were more likely to be smoking.
That is absolutely true, and I support all of that. But what I was asking and the reason I brought that up was because I go, how many people are the cops like looking at someone and going, I think he has weed. I'm looking for weed. I found weed. I'm arresting him just for weed. How many people are being locked up just for weed? Or is it something where they're looking for something else and then they find weed as well and tack it on to the charge?
Well, they're looking for a reason. Any reason to stop somebody and pull them – like to fuck with them, then they're – you know, that's an easy reason. It's an easy –
and but here's the thing. The reason why, by the way, I stand up a little bit – I mean listen, I have tremendous respect for the fact that someone has to do a very dangerous job. It's a shitty job. It sucks. They've been doing a bad job at it lately. But it's better than the alternative.
Do you even know what's going on with the police chief right now or whatever?
Yes. I'm well aware. There's a lot of terrible things going on with cops that have been doing terrible things.
Okay.
But I ask.
So why is there even an argument
But
happening?
I ask because here's exactly why. The alternative is no police whatsoever.
No.
Well,
it's
but
not.
That's. It's just. It's cops or no cops.
It's not. It's about the, you know, people. They're
we,
doing
yes,
a lot
we,
of. They're doing some internal stuff right
we
now.
We want better cops doing better things. But what I'm saying is all of the speech that I said and people who talk violence and this and that, I go, listen, we need to reform. We need to have oversight. We need to have citizens reviewing police. Like that's what they're talking about in Burbank now is having a group of citizens who are willing to sit in front of monitors and view the cop chest camera footage. That's a great fucking idea. That's a wonderful idea that gives the community oversight of its police officers, which is how all of this is supposed to work.
No.
But that's the point is that we need cops. That we need them. We do need them. So I would rather make them better than just be like, they fucking suck. I'm like, listen, we need them. I'm sorry. Like they do suck, but we need them. So we can't just, you know, listen, of course they're going to be against the legalization. But I think if you talked on a cop-to-cop basis, I think the individual cop would tell you, I don't care about weed. Not looking for it. I don't want it. There are going to be bigoted ones, but even those ones are saying, I just want to bust black guys. Like, they're racist.
Okay. $181.4 million from marijuana-related asset seizures, and that's like from 2002 to 2012 in California. That's a lot of fucking money. They don't want to lose that fucking money. And just be honest with yourself for a second there.
California agencies reached $181 million for marijuana-related assets. I mean, yeah, that's First of all, that's 10 years, so that's a lot of time. And second of all, I mean, but that's talking about – that's another one of those really skewed numbers that – listen, this is coming from The Intercept, so it's not ABC or CNN. So what they're doing is they're taking the numbers there where they're going, all right, so if Joe Schmo was in Detroit – or no, this is California. So he's in Los Angeles and he gets into a bar fight and gets arrested for battery. The better example for this would be if he's actually getting a hooker and he gets caught and they decide to seize his car and they find weed in the car and charge him for the weed as well. Well, they're seizing the car because of the prostitution. But if they tack marijuana onto that, that can still count as a marijuana-related asset seizure. So that's a $30,000 asset seizure for a nug of weed. But it's not really. So it is a lot of money. I don't see all of that money going away. I don't think that they look at $184 million over 10 years and go, we'd lose all of that if it wasn't for weed. I think they still keep a very large chunk of that. That's what I'm saying.
The whole purpose of this, though, is just that the main groups of people that are objecting the new ballot measure for cannabis legalization in the state is the cops.
Yeah, they are.
So
they're unions.
For you to say that they don't care is kind of.
I think the individual newer cops don't.
Not accurate.
I think the individual ones don't care. I think the old guard shit assholes at the top, the ones who need the reforming, the assholes who are the problem I'm talking about, those ones are the ones who are in charge of their union bureau, who are the ones who are saying, yeah, guys, our union's going to be against it. And the rest of the union members are going, oh, fuck, really? Yeah, well, fucking Bill's in charge and nothing we can do. He's got 35 years tenure and fucking shit. And he's an old crotchety, racist, bigoted white dude. Like that's what's going on. Believe me that the rest of the cops under him, the younger ones, the ones that are south of 35, I really don't think so. I don't think those are the ones that oppose weed. And I acknowledge that most of middle America does not have those types of cops. But here in L.A., that is what they're doing to combat this police problem that's going on all across the country, is they're trying to youthify the police force. They're trying to make them younger, because younger is usually a lot more fucking liberal and a lot more progressive and a lot more looking towards the future. They push them out. So they're pushing out all the old guys. Give it 5 years. I guarantee you, 5 years, we'll have the police supporting legalization. That's my call.
How can they support it if it's already happened?
Well, if it's already happened, what I'm saying is they'll be like, yeah, and it's a good thing. They're going to say it was a good thing.
Yeah.
I promise you 5 years from now, they're going to say it was a good thing. They're going to be against it because they have to, because the old fuckers at the top have to. All right, we'll move on. I know you hate me so much for this subject.
I do.
So mailing weed, can you mail it? Here's the thing. This is just a theoretical story, I guess. I was really surprised because I got super paranoid theoretically that I might have, you know, sent something to someone in a state with a big lone star on it. And
hypothetically,
yeah, no, it got there. Everything's fine. And FedEx, a little shout out, theoretically. Have you theoretically mailed anything before?
I don't usually like to fuck with that, but I know lots of people that know lots of people that work for UPS and FedEx, that the people that work there will steal your packages if they feel that there's, like, they can tell if there's weed in it. If it's a lot, you know, people that send, like, I know. Hypothetically, a person that's friend works at UPS and gives him all sorts of goodies that he scores from there that are, you know, because you can tell. But
a shit ton.
Yeah, yeah. I've never really done that, though. I've only sent a few little items.
I might have sent a vaporizer cartridge. Which to me,
hypothetically.
And that was it. I mean, I guess when I really thought about it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's so fucking
It's not a big deal at all.
It's so tiny.
I hypothetically sent something to my sick uncle and I paid for it to be overnight, hypothetically, with my credit card because I wasn't really thinking. I was upset. My mom told me he wasn't doing really well.
Hypothetically. I hypothetically used my mom's address because I was forward thinking and knew that bitch won't roll on me ever. She loves me.
So I wasn't even thinking about it. And I just like paid with my debit card and then sent it. It was supposed to be overnight. And then it just stopped on the tracking. It just stopped. And then, like, oh,
and then you had a heart attack, and then you hit yourself with the defibrillator, came back to life.
And then I start, and then I was hypothetically telling my mom that I might hypothetically be going to jail. And
how much did you hypothetically send?
It was like just a couple bottles of lotion and some high CBD pills. There was a little bit of THC in it, but not really.
Topicals and
it was like. Literally, like, it wasn't like a huge package. It was like, you know.
You were paranoid for that?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
They can't see it.
Yeah, but it wasn't even weed. Yeah, it was just.
It wasn't even weed?
No.
Like, I thought you were like scared because you sent like 5 brownies, like an eighth, and like 6 vaporizer cards. Like, I thought you were sending weight.
No, it was like two lotions and some high CBD, low THC pills.
Oh, see, you're way more paranoid than me. I felt like with the vaporizer cartridge, I just felt the reason for paranoia is just that, like, they've started getting used to what those look like.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when
I would have those and people would be like, oh, is that the tobacco? And I'd be like, no, it's weed. And they're like, they put weed in that now? And now every time someone sees me hitting my e-cig, I have a big box. And they're like, you getting high, man? I'm like, no, now they assume it's the other.
Yeah, people caught on real quick. Like when the G-Pen came out, like we used to be able to hit that shit in the movie theater.
I know. It was awesome, wasn't it?
Now people are starting to catch on. They're like, I remember I was in a bar and I actually passed it to fucking Perry Kurtz and he started chiefing it, like not even slick like.
No.
And it just like piles of smoke in the air and everything.
That was not smart of you.
Yeah, and then the manager came up to me and he was like, yeah, you gotta go out with that. Nah, you gotta leave the bar. And I'm like, but no, it's just it's a vape pen. He's like, I got one of those. You know? you're not gonna fool me. he's like, you can come back, but you gotta leave right now. I was like, okay.
God.
Sorry. Fucking Perry Kurtz got me kicked out.
Oh, that douche. That's still one of the greatest movie going experiences. I told you about that last
week.
When I was in Washington, we went to go see Captain America Civil War. And me, Justin Ruppel, Jay Hollingsworth, who was up there with us, and the owner of the club's son were the only 4 people in the movie theater for that screening at like midnight. So we were just chiefing up on our fucking weed vaporizers in there because. A manager even walked in and looked and was like, are those vaporizers? And we're like, yeah. He's like, okay, whatever. It's just you guys.
As long as you're not smoking.
Yeah.
Because they can see. The exhale is visible.
Yeah. And that's why you're not supposed to do it in movie theaters and stuff like that.
It can, you know, block someone's view.
It bothers. I'm sorry. I
do not like vape. I think that it makes the fucking room smell like fucking creme brulee or some shit.
Mine?
What are all these fucking people that
I tried to get one of the ones.
And they take huge rips and they blow these huge clouds and it smells like fucking cookies or something. Like, I'm like, what the fuck are you smoking?
Okay, you know what? I will defend what you're saying because you're right. The reason vaping has been outlawed in so many places is because so many douchebags are like, it's not bad for you to breathe it in. So... all up in your face like douchebags when I'm like, dude, that's still
I've heard some great names for vapes, by the way.
Yeah, there's some great names.
Douche flute.
Yeah. I have one that's
a mouth fedora.
I have one that's called beard juice. So
you have juice that tastes like beer?
No, beard juice. Like a great big bushy beard. That's what I have an e-fluid that's called that beard juice.
That sounds
juice.
Disgusting.
It's not very good. I don't like it. I bought it because I was out of fluid and I was on the road and I was like, I just need something.
We got some watermelon CBD vape juice in Washington the last time I went, and I got to give it to you because
yeah, you got to give that to me.
Yeah, we don't.
But to further defend what you're saying, a lot of these people they do get like these fruity ass or these like really cinnamony or these sweet or whatever the fuck it is.
There's something called grandma's cookies or something.
Yeah, and it smells like the fluid. Like me personally, I got a very, very mild tasting fluid because I vape so much. I was like, I don't want to get sick and tired of my fluid. I just want to get one and stick with it. The one I get is Turkish tobacco, which is just basically a light vanilla flavor. Like that's really all it is, very lightly vanilla. And
I'd
like to think it doesn't smell that bad because of that, but
you're still a
You can tell me if I'm wrong.
You're just still a slave to that shit, though.
But I'm not smoking cigarettes anymore. Doesn't that mean something?
You're not smoking a cigarette right now.
No, I mean, listen, actually, I haven't had one in like a week and a half. Since I got back from Washington, so 2 weeks. And I really only have
one. Do you want a fucking trophy for that?
You know what? Fuck you. I don't need your fucking approval. I don't need you. I don't need you to fucking, you know, just take one opposing view to April O'Connor. She'll shoot you down the rest of the fucking episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're coming Game out on. Guns blazing. Fucking knives are sharp from April O'Connor.
Those things are so funny to me.
Yeah, well.
It's like, why don't you just smoke cigarettes?
Because my endurance is better. I can taste food again, which I really do like. I like being able to taste food again.
Okay.
Because I didn't realize until like 2 weeks after I had really quit. This is the first time I got it. When I first got on the vaporizer, I didn't have a cigarette for like 4 months. And then, yeah, I have one from time to time. But 2 weeks in, I remember I'd cooked dinner for us. And we all went to bite in, and I remember looking at Mitch, who's always not a smoker. I'm like, dude, have I been making food this salty the whole time we've been living here? He's like, yeah, a little bit. I didn't want to say anything. And since that, like, he trusts my cooking a lot, and he always said, he's like, I knew it was because you were a smoker. That's why everything was really salty and peppery and all that stuff. I didn't realize how much salt and pepper I was putting in food. My taste buds were fucking dead. I didn't realize how dead they were.
Salty food is such a peeve of mine. Like, it just ruins it for me.
I didn't know I was doing it. Yeah. You've had my cooking now. Yeah, thankfully, I don't do that anymore. But back when I was a smoker, yes, salty ass fucking food, apparently. Really salty fucking food.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Not proud of myself. All right, so to wrap up the story of the hypotheticals, though. Because I feel like we should finish that up.
My thing did start moving again and it got there.
Yeah, your thing started moving again and it got there, hypothetically. My package got there, hypothetically, this morning, 8 hours ahead of schedule, which was great.
Mine was not. I paid for it to be overnight and then it took 2 days.
Oh, those dicks.
And it said money back guarantee and I was just like, maybe I'll just let that one slide.
Yeah, I'm just letting, you know what I'm like? I'm letting this one. Dude, I even remember the guy was, because I walked up with a package that I'd already put it in and sealed it. He was like, oh, dude, you don't have to buy that package because I'm going to put it in another one if you're overnighting. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to let this be double packaged.
Yeah.
I'm not taking it. Just fucking mail it. Okay, thank you. It was hypothetically.
The FedEx and the UPS are the way to go, but people are really hip to it, so they –
Yeah, don't send large amounts. Really have this be first of all, you shouldn't be nervous about flying with it. Check it. I've told you that 100 times.
I always bring stuff with me because it's my fucking medicine, you know, and I don't ever, I'm not even scared about that. Like, I just put it in my backpack or put it, like, it's mine. I have a right to it. I bring it with me. I'm not scared about that at all. But shipping is a totally different thing. And it was.
And you call my white privilege.
No, it's not. It's just I've been here for 10 years and I have more confidence now than I did before. I used to fucking try to do the whole hypothetical, put it in my underwear thing. And now it's just like I don't even bother.
It was mostly because it went to Texas, hypothetically, that I was so scared. I was like, oh, like I wasn't so much scared for me as I was scared for my buddy who I was sending it to. So I was like, hypothetically, because that was where shit could have gotten bad. And I was like, on his end, things could have gone real, real bad.
I went with the USPS because that is, I don't know, that's more.
Isn't that federal? Wait, not the.
It's all federal. I mean, there's no. Mine was mostly CBD stuff, so it's just that wasn't even the case. It's just that you have these where there's people that are hip to what people are doing. I wouldn't be afraid to hypothetically admit that I shipped large amounts before, but I actually haven't because I've never really had the need to like fuck with that shit.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of people that do it. God bless them. But
God bless you. So a kosher medical marijuana is heading to market, and they've just had the rabbis over to inspect this medical marijuana. But this whole – I mean, once again, a weird conversation because as I was telling you in the pre-show, there was a rabbi in Israel who ordained that marijuana is not just kosher already – but kosher for Passover, which is a whole other special thing. For those of you who don't know, Passover and the Jews celebrating Exodus from Egypt, blah, 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 Ten Commandments.
Matzah.
We had to leave in a hurry, so we couldn't wait for the bread to rise. So we just grabbed the crackers and ran. And because of that, every year we're like, we should eat crackers for 7 days and no bread whatsoever. And because of that, anything with yeast is supposed to be thrown out of your house. In the more Orthodox houses, in the more conservative houses, they don't eat it. In the more Reform houses, we just don't eat it on the night that we go to dinner with our family. So those are the differing levels of what kind of kosher is kept.
You have to throw it away?
The Orthodox, they get – it's out of the house. It's out of your house.
Like just for Passover or all
Yeah, just for Passover
time.
For those 7 days.
Oh, okay.
7 days of Passover, nothing leavened in your house. And that would be pasta as well. That would be like noodles for your soup. That's why we're eating matzo balls. That's all noodle kugel. Can't have noodle kugel on Passover. All of this stuff. So, by the way, I fucking love noodle kugel. Have you ever had noodle kugel?
No.
Oh, I might have to make that for you one night. My bubby has a good recipe. I just said bubby. Anyways.
That was.
Super chewy?
Yeah.
So, there's a big debate sometimes about what things are kosher for Passover and what things aren't. And this guy brought a freshly cropped bushel of cannabis up to this rabbi.
As long as it's not deep fried and batter.
Yeah, and this good. Old rabbi who grabbed it and they said he rubbed the leaves together and he held it up to his nose and he went, anyway, it smells like it has healing qualities and I deem that it is kosher for Passover. So
what about if something was in the soil, for instance, would that, like, if there was like a, say,
a pesticide,
shellfish, something shellfish in the fertilizer.
Well, you know what? Jews are very much that whole, you know, from the earth come the dust to dust, ashes to ashes, you know, all that stuff. So I would imagine if we're talking about something being used as a fertilizer.
It's different than eating shellfish.
Yeah, you're not catching shellfish, cooking them and eating. The whole rules of kosher are very – I feel like people need an understanding.
Don't get sick and die.
Yeah, it's don't get sick and die. This was biblical times of people going, dude, if you eat dairy and meat together, you get sick and die. If you eat uncooked pork, you get sick and die. If you eat uncooked shellfish, you get sick and die. If you eat a split-hoofed animal uncooked, you fucking die. So those things were deemed to be unholy and therefore unkosher. So kosher already is kind of fucking bullshit in most Reformed Jews' eyes. But that's so
– I always thought that like the meat was one of the things too where they are more compassionate. They slit the animal's throat. As opposed to like putting a rubber bullet in their brain, or
yes, that there's
it dark because it darkens the meat when they sense their death is coming.
There's a theory that, and I mean, I've tasted. I do believe kosher meat does taste better, and it's not a Jew thing. I know a lot of people who aren't Jewish who prefer kosher meat because of the slaughtering process.
Yeah.
Because
it's really, it's a, they say it, they're more compassionate about the way they slaughter it. And I'm like, that's a fucking oxymoron.
Yeah, it is an oxymoron.
Compassionate slaughter.
It sucks when you're already talking about an animal being slaughtered, but listen, if you're, I'm a meat eater and I acknowledge that something has to die for me to have a meal sometimes. And not all the time.
Right. But when you see like a factory farm, like cow getting a rubber bullet in its head, yeah, while it like needs to get a second one because it's still flailing around.
Well,
it's like, whoa.
What I've noticed is the big difference
to
me.
You feel a little guilty or a lot guilty.
And I'm not saying go out and watch this video because it is difficult to watch. But if you watch them, if you ever watch one of the videos where they catch that rubber bullet or the spike in the back of the head, you see the entire body tense up and they fall over and everything is very stiff, and then they die. Whereas with the kosher, when they slit it, they literally just fall down flat, limp. And if you're willing to eat meat, listen, you already have to know that that's what it takes, because I think everyone should have the reality of what it takes for you to eat that meal.
Yeah.
But just know that for the quality of the meat itself afterwards, I'd prefer the meat that didn't go all tense, full of adrenaline and
– yeah, it darkens the meat and makes it taste different.
It does. It's tougher and it's chewier. I much prefer kosher meat in that way. So yeah, kosher does also pertain to answer your question in a long form way, as I just did. Yes, kosher does also pertain to the way something is farmed. So I'm sure there would be unkosher ways to harvest marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they would be.
Like pesticides, molds, yeasts, things like that.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, you know, that's a weird – it's weird because I
– so for something to be kosher doesn't necessarily mean it's pesticide-free?
I believe it does, but I really don't know. That's something that I'm not 100% sure on. I know that there are – because I know that there are some GMO kosher products, I believe.
Okay,
so
there could be something maybe used pesticide-free but conventionally grown with conventional
yes,
fertilizers and such.
That would probably be my that would be my guess. But yeah, I think that you're very right when you say that, though. Yeah, there's probably kosher ways and unkosher ways to do it. But that is really cool that a rabbi would come in. And the reason that – so this company, though, this is Vero Health of New York's they've arrived here at Vero Health. It's in Albany, New York. The company merited for their kosher certification. They would eventually give their approval, but not before asking some tough questions, beginning in the room where row after row of plants hung upside down to dry. That's amazing just to imagine a bunch of old rabbis walking through the room that they're curing in.
There's a photo of the girl with all the...
Yeah, but it doesn't have the rabbis in it. I want the picture of the rabbis just walking amongst the fucking marijuana plants after marijuana plant after marijuana. I mean, yeah, I always wonder because kosher gets talked about a lot for how few fucking Jews there are in this country. There's as many Jews as there are Native Americans.
Really?
Yeah, it's the same number.
I mean,
the same fucking. We're both 4.2 million.
I mean, the majority must be in New York and LA or something because I feel like literally on Jewish holidays, there's no fucking traffic in the city.
There's 4.2. There's the same amount of Jews right now in America as there are Native Americans right now in America, maybe off by 100,000 or two.
But there's a huge population here in LA.
I mean, a couple million.
That's
and
a lot.
Couple million in New York, but not even probably like 1.5 here, 1.5 there, and a million scattered everywhere else in Florida.
Oh, Boston too.
Yeah, no, there's Jews on the coasts. There aren't any in the middle of the country. That's what it really comes down to. I think that people on the coast get a skewed view. They're like, oh, yeah, everyone knows what a Jew is. I'm like, dude, I was in Arkansas, and for a lot of those people, I was the first Jew they ever saw. In person. They never met another one before. So who knows? What you looking at right there? You're looking at how
to interview a rabbi about kosher marijuana in the New York Times.
Oh, gosh.
There's your rabbi.
Yes, that is my rabbi, isn't it? I think that's the guy that they were talking to.
I
don't get why kosher is such a big deal. I don't get why people talk about kosher so much. Like, well, it's actually.
I feel like if I, because I like to eat organic, ideally, yeah, if I can.
Do you think of
possible.
Kosher as organic? Like, if you buy a kosher chicken, are you as happy as you would be if it said organic free range?
Yes. Oh, okay. I probably would think that it would be more. I mean, I don't know though, because in my experience where people make a lot of claims in both in dispensaries, even in restaurants, where people say they're using ingredients that they aren't because it sells. You know, then that makes me question the integrity of all food and everything. And I just start, you know, getting like in my head about it. But I would hope that if I didn't have a place like that to get organic vegetables, that I would go and to a kosher mart and find something there.
All right. I was curious about that because when I'm posed with the option, because I go to a store that has a huge kosher section and I don't know what it is. I always go for the thing that says organic free range. I love organic free. Like, there's something.
It's something about.
Because it's marked kosher.
When it says free range.
Because that's the thing. Organic free range, usually, for those of you who don't know, by the way, quick tip, if that little K with the circle or the U with the circle around it, those are kosher marks. That means that they are kosher. There's a lot of things that you might not know are kosher that just are because they are, and they stamp them as such.
Yeah.
So even the fact that there's that on food, we have 4.2 million Jews in this entire fucking country, and you stamp all of your food whether it's kosher or not. Thank you. We appreciate it.
That's all there is in the United States. So nothing in the middle of the United States.
Nothing. Not a damn thing.
You're just over here, the West and the East.
I will always remark back to, because this was a very eye-opening experience for me as a young man. I was in like second or third grade, and they give you that history book. Mm. And you know when you would flip to the back of that history book, it would have all the different maps that would like, you know, based on population, based on based on that, based on income. And then we'd get to the one that was religion. And every religion had its own color and it would shade in a whole area of a place. And then at the bottom of the list was Judaism, but Judaism didn't get a color. It just had a little Star of David and there was one over LA, New York, and Florida. And that was it.
Oh, wow.
And over Miami, rather.
Yeah.
And that was it. We didn't get a color. We just had three stars over three cities.
Boston has a pretty big community.
Well, that was the thing. It was up in that northeast area. It's like you stamp one on New York, it's close enough to Boston, one of the points will hit it, you know? One of the points of the six-star David hit Boston, I guess.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I get surprised very much that kosher is that big a deal anywhere with that few people. It's the same, like I said, same amount as Native Americans.
But I mean, whenever there's a Jewish holiday, there is no traffic.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, no.
It is my favorite day.
I don't
time
know
to
what
drive.
Native American holidays there are, but there's always traffic. So I'm assuming that we're not taking days off for their. Like, I don't even know what a Native American holiday is. Could you name one? Yeah, I didn't think so.
That's a fucking shame. I should really, really go kill myself.
All right, so the last thing coming up. We've reached 50%, ladies and gentlemen. 50% of the states in the United States, including its territories, Guam and Puerto Rico.
And
D.C. Legalized either recreational or medicinal marijuana. So this was the goal that I said a mere year ago on this show. I said, I understand it's little steps. First step is we have to have 50 states that approve of it, and then we can have a federal discussion. Then we can actually talk about reclassifying.
Yeah, Louisiana is the one that closes in on 25, but it's 24 and then D.C. and Guam. So that's what.
Yeah, that's what puts you over the limit.
Yeah, so that's where we're at.
Not in Puerto Rico?
No, I only read D.C.
Everything's legal in Puerto Rico. I feel like.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, geez. Wow.
But there's just been also a lot of polls about just Americans in general. There's increasing numbers in the support of marijuana legalization. There's, what does it say? Even in conservative Utah, 66% of all voters, including 55% of Republicans, support the legalization of medical marijuana. That's huge.
But well, it's also huge that the state that put us over that 50% limit
is Louisiana.
Louisiana. I do declare, I think I have the vapors to go on and think that it might be Louisiana, the great state of the South. The good old Bible Belt, God-fearing folk down there in Louisiana, to have them be the ones that put us over the line. That's pretty fucking cool. I mean, I don't know how – can weed grow in the swamps? I don't know. That whole state floats. Have you ever been to Louisiana? Have you ever been to Louisiana?
No.
God, don't go. Don't ever go. No, I shouldn't say – here's the thing. The French Quarter in New Orleans is gorgeous. It's wonderful. But everything else in that state floats. I went to Houma, Louisiana. Went to a dude's – I thought I was going to a restaurant. We went by fanboat to a dude's back porch who spilled some crawdads over some newspaper-strewn tables. And when I asked him to turn the light on, he went, light over there. And he was pointing at the light, which was on and blacked out by mosquitoes. And I was like, I don't want to be in this state anymore. Get me out, please. And then I had to be there for two more weeks filming. But anyways – Louisiana proven. That's the one that puts us over 50. Will you go to Louisiana now that they have weed, April? You seem to go anywhere there's weed.
Well, weed goes anywhere I go. So wherever I am, there is weed. Yes.
We are one and the same. I am weed. Weed is me. We cannot be apart.
We are one. We are one. Okay, so this, it says 24 states plus the District of Columbia and Guam, for sure. Everybody is stoked about Louisiana. That's a good feat. I mean, shit. Once we get
it's very, very medical in Louisiana,
once we get,
though,
like,
correct?
Alabama. Yeah, it's medical.
But it's like one of those like really, really strict medicals, correct? I believe it. Like it's not going to be like LA where you can just go in, pay $40, get a card, go to a shop.
There's some interesting thing in this headline that it said it became the first and the 25th state to approve medical marijuana. And it said that there's actually been a law in Louisiana in place since 1978, sponsored by State Senator Tony Guarisco of Morgan City. And it allows for the legal use of cannabis oil by patients diagnosed with glaucoma and persons undergoing chemotherapy cancer treatment. Interesting. So it's technically the first one.
Huh. Who did that? I mean, well.
Yeah.
Louisiana, man. Here's a weird thing. At times, Louisiana is kind of like the New York of the South. The same way that Maine can be like the Kentucky of the North.
Well, it's the... It says that the
or Alabama. Which one do you say it is?
The Kentucky of
which one?
Kentucky of New England.
Yeah, that's it. That's
Maine.
It.
So, but the problem with this being like the first one and from 1978 was that the word prescribe, doctors are prohibited by federal law to prescribe cannabis. So, when they first made that law, and when they did, you know, the vocabulary,
yeah.
It shut them out because only a doctor can prescribe a drug, and that's federally.
And ladies and gentlemen, the history of our country is told by fucking that's the amount of times that laws have been enforced or not enforced or beaten around or lied about because of the wording of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the point. I was reading up today because I was getting in a Second Amendment debate with somebody. And it got down to the debate of the fact that got back to the Constitution when they first wrote it about whether the word arms in bearing arms should be capitalized or not. Does that give it a proper name that allows it to be interpreted as other things, or is it just simply saying bearing arms? So,
like the guns or the gun show?
Well, because the argument that I've made for a long time in my stance of the fact that I feel like guns don't belong in big cities is the fact that what was I saying?
you were distracted by my gun show.
I was distracted by your gun. it was the fact that I think that bearing arms means voting. And I think if you're not voting at an 80% click in any city or county, you don't deserve guns because you're not bearing arms anyways. So vote. That's your arms. That's your regulated militia.
I get where you're going with that.
Yeah, it's very hippie-ish, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that I smell patchouli.
Oh, fuck you. I'm hiding my Birkenstocks underneath my sweatshorts. I got my dashiki under the table. I will be, I do believe that. I believe that is where this whole well-regulated militia to regulate the government. Like, hey, yo, that's voting. That in every way, that's what voting is. So anyways, that gets us to the end of our hour as you seem to be just zoning out, cuddling with your dog, engulfed in, you know, hatred of me.
No, this has been fun. This has been fun. I've only wanted to kill you for
the first
40
20 minutes. Well, we've been 49, about 50 minutes so far. So, you know.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
It's a pretty good rate.
I'm just having fun. I like being able to.
No, I like being yelled at.
I like throwing zingers at you sometimes. Sometimes I feel like
I leave myself too damn open for them. That's the problem. It's just like I give big targets.
You're fucking gaping, dude.
I know. Big gaping holes that you can just ram things in on me. That's all I am.
No lube needed. Gaping. Mm. So basically, yeah, interestingly enough, Louisiana was the first.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. I didn't realize that.
And the 50% mark.
And just by language, they haven't been able to do anything about being the first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because fucking language, it's important for some stupid fucking reason.
Yeah, and it says that they legalized it again in 1991 when the state added spastic quadriplegia to the short list of conditions that could qualify.
Spastic quadriplegia?
I can't believe I just pronounced that right, but I'm pretty sure it did.
Is that like when you're quadriplegic, but you're like but you still get spasms in the muscles?
Yeah, I'm guessing. And it says that deadline, the deadline for
terrible.
That passed, but in 1994, the health department did finally issue a set of rules pertaining to doctor prescribed cannabis oil. But it's the same thing prescribed so that they still haven't been able to do anything. So isn't that weird? Isn't that weird how like you could fuck yourself? Like, that's why I feel like California is done. We're smart. We've pushed away some of these initiatives that have come through because we know what's going to be right for us. We've taken our time. Other states have gone ahead of us.
We take the apple.
Guns blazing, but we watch where they fail and we watch where they succeed. And
California is at least attempting to take the apple approach. I don't need to do it first. I'm just going to do it better.
Yeah.
I'm gonna see how everyone else, like with the Apple Watch. Wasn't the first ones to put out a watch, but an Apple Watch is way better than a Samsung Gear. Guarantee you that, even though that's four generations deep.
Yeah,
they just go, listen, we'll just put out, and that's what California's doing. They're gonna sit back, they're gonna see the mistakes everyone else makes, hopefully, and then they're gonna go, okay, let's try and do it right.
Yeah,
I hope. I mean, listen, I don't have much faith in anything anymore, even though I protect cops and all that stuff. I'm like, listen, I don't have faith in them just like I have faith in nothing. Okay, so who knows? Who knows what'll happen? Donald Trump's running for president. We could all be in fucking Canada next year. That would be fun.
Did you hear that? Canada and an island in Ireland is accepting people.
Who really do want to move?
No, seriously.
Yeah, no, I heard.
Yeah.
I heard. They're aching for citizens with fucking money. That's why. Because here's the thing. Anybody who would move would be some rich fucking liberal douchebag who'd have tons of money that they're like, yeah, come and spend it here. Shit, yeah. We'll give you citizenship.
Ireland has a fantastic economy, but this is just like an underpopulated island off of Ireland that they're like, yeah, come on over.
Come on.
Let's get this shit. This is going to be the new potty island. Let's go.
Oh, jeez.
You're going to come to my island in Ireland.
If you're moving to an island, if Trump wins and you're moving to an island in Ireland, I will come and visit you. Absolutely.
I think that I might have to just because it's Ireland.
Not just because it's Trump?
Oh, definitely. Both. Oh, this has been fun.
It has been a good time,
hasn't
it?
We got a little too serious for a minute, and now we're a little too silly.
I like the serious and the silly. So what are
you... Yeah, I was timing.
What you got coming up to promote in the next few weeks?
I'm going to be at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room on Sunday, May 22nd at 8 o'clock.
Nice.
And I am going to do the Springbok on the 25th. Which is what I think he's now referring to as the Van Nuys Comedy Club.
That is what he's referring to as the Van Nuys Comedy Club.
Which I'm okay with. Yeah, it whatever. Sounds better.
It's still, but yeah, but then you have to tell people it's in the back of the Springbok.
It's in the back of a Thai restaurant, right?
No. It's in the back of a South African bar.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a rugby bar. I've had many, many a rugby social at the Springbok. The Springbok is where I go to watch the Rugby World Cup because they're the only ones in Los Angeles screening the games that are close to me.
I just know that
it's a South African bar.
I trimmed weed at a house nearby there once, and I was like, oh, there's that place.
Yeah. The Springbok, it's a South African.
Oh.
South African bar.
Now I can't do
a South African.
Was I wrong to assume it was a Thai restaurant?
No, they got some Thai shit on their fucking menu, I guess. They got some rice shit on
there. Okay, all right.
The menu is very confusing.
Thank you. All right, cool. Well,
but if you look on the wall, the shit ton of rugby jerseys should have told you that it wasn't Thai.
Yeah.
That's the one that should have set you off.
Yeah.
The entire decoration of the place.
Okay, guys, we're going to just say I'm going to be at the Van Nuys Comedy Club,
which is in the back of the Springbok Bar and Grill.
And it's not a Thai restaurant.
It's not a Thai restaurant. I'm not even promoting anything. That's too good. I'm leaving it on that. I have not. You know what? I do have shit to promote, but I'm not promoting it this week. I'm waiting till next week. Thank you, Crab Diving. Thank you, Rifopolis Studios. Thank you, April, for that beautiful, beautiful promotion that you have. We'll see you all next week.